I would say that if he's just an angry individual and he's never been joyous, then I would say we have a huge problem. But as this is a result of an experience that he's never felt before and he doesn't know what to do.
My name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we are here with episode 216 of How Married Are You?
Okay, my name is Belief. This is Yvette. We married 13 years. And we got LaFonya. We got four kids. Relationship scary. It's very necessary. We share our love of struggle. We ask how married are you? Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in a wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions. We got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time. 1, 2, 3, and...
You know, today Theo got honored for being a servant leader.
Yeah.
And he is leader.
He's not a servant?
No. I'm just saying he's like a servant leader. He really is.
Yeah.
He is. And so I think so as a homeschooling parent, there are moments, and I'm sure this is not true just for homeschooling parents. I'm sure this is true for all parents out there. But we often question, like, are we doing a good job? And for me, I question that every hour. However, I feel like the Lord has given me glimpses lately in these past few weeks, in this past couple of weeks, of, like, just how good a job we're doing. Like, we're really blessed with some amazing kids who love each other. They love themselves. They love God. They love us. They love people. And so, I don't know. It's just always nice when you get an external affirmation of, we're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And then some of it too is just like, not even us, it's the child themselves. But we are definitely helping to cultivate and nurture what God has already put in him. And so,
yeah,
I'm proud of these kids.
Yeah, I remember one time, man, you went out of town. Ooh, uh-huh. You was gone. And it was like a Monday morning and the kids had to be like at school. And I was like chilling. Like I was moving around like I move around. And Theo's looking at me like, bruh.
Theo was probably looking at you like how I always look at you. I'm like, Glenn, we both know we have to be here at this time. What are you doing?
Who says we got to be there on time, though? Really, who, though? Who told me I got to be there on time?
OMG is the most frustrating thing.
Because nobody tell me what to do.
It is so frustrating.
I'm CEO. It's like, just joking. Nah. So I'm moving around like I'm moving around. And I'm doing what I got to do. I'm just not. But Theo is like, he switched over the loads. Like, he got. Like lunch pails packed. He's got backpacks packed. I'm like, oh my gosh, you are killing it right now. I was like, bro, you know what would be crazy is if you did this with your mom when she was here. Mm-hmm. That would be so crazy if
it
you
really
did that.
Would.
And so that dude is really a servant leader. He's really like that. He has the potential to be unstoppable. I already know whoever married this dude. Mm-hmm. Is gonna be good to go.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
He don't miss. He don't miss, especially when it's something he's motivated to do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He knows what time he has to be there. He's, you know. No.
I'm just saying part of that is, for me, part of that is a little bit concerning because he does get so like wired up, or what is the word? He gets so whatever.
Anxious
about things. And it's like, bro, calm down.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I wait until the very last minute to say, this is what's happening. Because if I tell him a week in advance, like we had he had to have his cast on for how long?
4 weeks.
4 weeks or something. And I forgot. I forgot that the cast had to come off.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mom, like last week, he was like, Mom, it's February 7th. It's like 7 days away, you know, I got to get my cast off or whatever. And I was like, oh, shoot. I never actually scheduled that appointment. That boy would have been in that cast for who knows how long because I didn't schedule the appointment. But it's like he's just so on top of things. And he doesn't have. And that's the thing that frustrates me about him is I know I do not have to repeat myself. Theo is one of those children who he really did hear you the first time. Mm-hmm.
And he heard you when you whispered it to somebody else.
And so when he comes and asks me like a third and fourth and fifth time, I'm like, boy, I already told him. I tell them this all the time. And he'll tell you if you ask Theo, what are the three things your mom says to you all the time? This would be one of them. Don't ask me questions you know the answer to.
He does that all the time.
He does it all the time, and it irritates me so much. But anywho, that child is amazing. He is amazing.
He really is. Like I said before, he's going to have, whoever marries him is going to have be well taken care of.
Yes.
But boy, will you have issues with him keeping receipts, because that boy remembers everything.
Yeah, he does.
And like, I remember one time he was 3 years old, and I'm getting in the car, and I'm about to pull off. He said, Dad, your drink's on top of the ceiling. Of the car. Like, I put my drink on the hood of the car, and he told me at 3. I was like, what in the heck is going on, you nosy child? Thank you. But Theo will remember.
That has nothing to do with nosiness and everything to do with observant.
But check this out. But he remembers everything. Like, he'll remember stuff from years ago and be like, remember? Because I remember because you had on the blue coat, and we went over here, and I was 4. Like, his memory is insane. It's like a photographic memory.
He is also the neighborhood watch.
Oh, yeah. Lily be sitting out looking out the window.
They be sitting looking out the window, just watching everything. He can tell you everything about all of our neighbors. I'd be like, I didn't even know that. Oh, my goodness. He's funny.
Yeah, man. That dude. There's plenty of stories about Theo. That dude is funny.
Yeah, y'all. We are so glad to be here with you, and we hope that you are enjoying your time here with us. We hope you're enjoying it so much so that you are subscribed.
Boom.
So that you're getting those email notifications when we upload. And we hope that you are liking the video even before you've listened, just because you are confident in the quality of the content that we are about to share with you. So if you have not liked this video, please go ahead and like it in this moment. If there's anyone just by the title of the podcast episode that you think, you know what, let's just listen to this together. Let's have a watch party or something. Share the episode with them. If you would like to leave us a 5-star review, we welcome you to do that on whatever podcast app you listen to us on. And, you know, too, if you just want to leave a little comment in the comment section below, some point throughout this episode, that is also helpful. All of this helps us be seen and find the rest of our wedding party. We are so glad that you are a part of our wedding party, and we want to expand this wedding party. Actually, I don't know if we do or not, but you know, we out here.
But yeah, man, the Unplugged Retreat, ladies, mothers, really important mothers out there who want to celebrate Mother's Day in a special way. Mm-hmm. From the 10th through the 13th, Yvette is doing a limited time only. The next time she do this, it won't be just mothers. So if you want someone to speak to your mom heart, if you want to hear God during this season right now, and you need a break, you know you need a break, and you know around right before the kids get out for summer. Mm-hmm. and they it's a whole bunch of stuff going on.
It's a perfect time.
It's the perfect time for you to get away. May 10th through the 13th. Rest and remain in Carefree, Arizona with the Unplugged Retreat. Yvette is going to have you guys out there. She's going to be hosting a beautiful space for you to breathe, to meditate, to hear God, to worship, like experience it at another level. And this is for fathers as well. If you do not have a Mother's Day gift lined up for your lady, for your wife, for your mom, for your sister, your cousin, coworker, employee, whatever the situation is, man, this is an amazing opportunity for you to bless them and send them away for Mother's Day, right? Moms be needing breaks if you watch Yvette do her thing. And if you even have proximity to a mother, you know how much they carry. So we wanted to create a space to bless moms. And so Yvette is doing a great job with that. So make sure you buy your tickets at YvetteHenry.com. YvetteHenry.com. But make sure I have the link in the description. I'll be forgetting. But we'll put it in there for sure so you can tap in.
All right. Thank you so much, babe. That was a really good
plug. I'll be killing that.
Plug, yeah.
I'll be killing those.
He does. He's really good at it. But join me.
Yeah.
let's make it happen, y'all. All right. So my husband is grumpy.
Can I say something real
go
quick?
Go ahead.
Man, this is 216 times we didn't sat down together.
Oh, yes.
That's a lot of times.
That's a lot of times.
Maybe you got an event you got coming up and you want to bring us out to speak or be on a panel or something like that. That is definitely an option. That's definitely an option. You got to hit up Kensington Gray, our people over at Kensington Gray. And we'll leave a little email also, you know what I'm saying? Or you could just plug us on our website, howmarriedareyoupodcast.com. But yeah, you can tap in with us and bring us out and we'll speak and speak to your people, speak at a marriage conference, whatever the situation is. We like that.
We will be out in Lakeland, Florida in April. I forget the exact dates, but we'll make sure we share that with you guys.
A homeschooling conference there.
When that time comes. Okay. Podcast submission. My husband is grumpy and depressed and I can't help. Hi, guys. I've been a podcast listener for 4 years now. My almost 3-year-old son sings the Chocolate Baby Storytime jingle when he hears it. Oh, I love that. My husband introduced me to Soul Rebel when we were dating. That's my brother's album, which eventually led me to listen to Good Religion. So I knew the music before I knew Belief in Fatherhood YouTube channel and this podcast. All around, y'all are some of the best creatives out there.
Whoop, whoop.
I received that. Anywho, let's get into the nitty gritty. If you want a visual, go with the storytelling. Here's my, she gave her Instagram. I am 25. My husband is 28. We have been married for 6 years and have 2 beautiful chocolate babies of our own. I guess they're more like milk chocolate. We met at a Christian CrossFit gym. Okay, fitness. Dated for 16 months and got married after 4 months of being engaged. I met him a week after I graduated high school. Okay, wait, let me pay attention to the timeline really quick. They've been married for 6 years. They met at a CrossFit gym, dated 16 months, a year and 4 months, and got married after 4 months. So they got married 20 months after they started dating.
I need a timeline with integers.
I met him a week after I graduated high school, and he was my first boyfriend, my first everything. We were very adventurous when we first met in the first couple of years of our marriage. We went on hikes, lots of chatty coffee dates, road trips to surrounding cities, and I even thought wasn't old enough to drink yet. Huh? And even though maybe I wasn't old enough to drink yet, we would still go out on the weekends with friends and hang out downtown. We even went on a month-long backpacking trip to Europe. Wow. We were also very active in church. He was a leader in the high school ministry. I was leader for the middle school ministry. We went to church every Sunday and sometimes small groups on Wednesdays. Within the last couple of years, my husband has become very grumpy, for the lack of better words. He doesn't want to hang out with anyone besides his brother and his wife, who I also love and consider my best friends. And small things like going out for dinner is a hassle for him. You know, when you were younger and you wanted to ask your mom something, but you knew she was going to say no. That's how I feel anytime I want to ask him something. Even if it's something small like dinner at my parents' house, he oftentimes says no. Or if he does say yes, he has a grumpy attitude the whole time we are there.
That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm, and he wants to leave as quick as possible. When I want to go do a date night, he will oblige, but I always have to plan it. And it just doesn't feel as fun and easy as it used to be. We also haven't been to church in almost 3 years. This part bothers me the most because of our boys. We are responsible for their little souls, and I don't want to be the only one who is pouring into them spiritually. As a head of the household, I want to so badly for my husband to initiate going to church, praying before bed, reading the Bible story, anything. The hardest part of this all is I know exactly where this stems from.
Let me guess.
Were you going to say?
I was going to say money.
Oh. He lost someone very close to him 3 years ago. This person was a father figure in my husband's life, and he took it very hard. My husband won't say this, but I feel like the situation made him angry with God and made him doubt God. It was that moment that he started pushing off going to church. He also says that he doesn't like celebrating anything like birthdays or holidays because it's not the same without this person. I totally understand this, and I try to be accommodating. My parents ask to plan parties for the 4th of July or some or other small holidays, and I tell them no. Our friends invite us on holiday vacations, and I tell them no. I fight the urge to plan a birthday party for my husband every year. I know Yvette will understand the struggle. Yes, girl. In my mind, I think that he can't stay this closed off forever, right? Eventually, you have to let life happen again, right? I have never experienced a loss like this, so I don't know exactly what he's going through. But I see life passing us by every year, and I don't want to look back on these years and wish we did more with our time. I don't expect things to go back to where it was when we were dating, but I want to live like we're in our 20s because we are. I have talked to him about this probably 5 times now. He is negative and grumpy all the time, how we don't go to church and how we don't hang out with anyone but his brother, how I miss the community of church and how I feel lonely, how I miss the adventurous side of him and how I wish he would plan a date night every once in a while. He gets very defensive and we never come to compromise or came up with a solution or even a game plan on how to move forward. The last conversation we had, he started crying and said, "Something is missing in my life. I just don't know what it is." I suggested he try therapy and he looked into it for a week but never followed through. I bring it up every once in a while. He just shrugs it off. So my question to you guys is, what the heck do I do now? Keep bugging him, let it go and hope for the best, kick him in the booty and tell him to get it together? Maybe I need to word things differently, or maybe I just need to leave it alone. I love this man with my whole heart and I want to help him. Something has changed, or else I worry I will start to get resentful. Thank you guys for your time and God bless. Oh, man.
Me and this guy is very similar.
Yeah.
Me and this guy is very similar. I don't think we are exactly the same.
No.
But.
Similar.
Similar. You want to speak to it?
I don't know. I was just listening. She's 25 and he's 28. And I was just listening to it and I was like, you know, we are not our spouse's hero. Like, I can't save Glenn and Glenn cannot save me. Mm-hmm. And I think that the sooner that we all come to terms with our humanity and what we are capable of, the better. Because we will hit moments of depression. And I don't know if this is the first time that you have encountered your husband depressed or sad.
I don't think he's depressed. Oh, she says he's grumpy and depressed. Sorry.
Well, I mean, obviously he lost someone very important to him. And she said that's kind of when things started to shift. And that's another thing. I think that's one of the reasons we talk about all the time, how when I went away, I realized, oh my gosh, I've been living with this grief for so long. And it was the loss of Brittany that kind of helped me realize, or it kind of just made it all
come up to the surface
in a devastating way. And so I feel like Glenn and I, and you can totally chime in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we've been married so long and we've encountered each other's lows to a point that we have learned how to give each other space. Why are you smiling like that?
You're cute. That's why. Keep going.
Am I wrong?
No. Am I saying anything? I'm just thinking of a moment in my mind.
Well, like I recently was on a, I'm just going to watch TV kick. Like I'm going to, at the end of the night, I'm just going to watch. I won't talk to you. Shut up and let me watch.
It was a while. You were in that for a while. It was like a few shows.
Mm-hmm. I was like, next show, next show, next show, next show. And I would literally, and Glenn's usually the one that's up after me. Yeah. Or after I go to bed. But I was like staying up and watching because I just had to know what's going to happen on things. It was crazy. But that was like something I had to do to cope with whatever it is that I was
avoiding.
And so, anywho, for me, I feel like we've realized how to give each other space. And one of the things that I think is very important, especially when we see that our spouse is experiencing something, is that we do what we can to fill our own tanks. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when Glenn gets into those moments, I try to give him his space, but I also fight because we can't both be there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we can, but it makes things really challenging to keep things afloat and keep moving, especially when you have children. And so when I was reading through this email, I was like, girl, go to church. Go to the 4th of July party. Go to your parents' house without him. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the things that I have to do. I have come to terms that there are certain events and things that Glenn just does not have an interest in being a part of, and I still go because I still deserve to have a life, and my children still deserve to be in community with people. That's a value that I have, and it's not...
No, it's I don't share that same value.
Yes, it doesn't manifest. I do believe that you share the value, but I don't think it manifests itself the way it does for me.
It's on different spots on our priority list.
Yes. And so sometimes I will go out of my way to make sure that we show up for whomever and whatever to be a part of the celebration or festivities or whatever the case may be. But for Glenn, he's like, I don't have time for that. I got work to do. I'm going to be over here doing this. Or maybe he's having a moment and he's like, I don't want to be around people right now. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, what I would say is still, this is important. His mental health and him doing well is important. But for me, I don't know if this works. I don't know if this works. But in my mind, I don't know if I've said this out loud. You're making me share something I've never said out life.
Nobody make you do nothing. This is all volunteer work. You ain't getting paid.
In my mind, sometimes I'm like, he'll just experience FOMO and he'll want to come along for the ride eventually. Mm-hmm. Or like one at some point, he'll be like, oh, I'll come. I don't want to miss this. Is that true or no?
I value things differently, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know if there's ever been a time, like I'll see something like, oh man, I wish I was there. That looked fun. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, oh man, I'm bummed I wasn't there. It's like, oh, that would have been nice to attend. Mm. But you got to do that because I was doing what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what he says.
That's what that was. She doesn't understand that.
I do understand that.
No, you don't.
Because yes, I do.
You truly don't. Because you truly don't. You truly do not understand. I mean, I'm not going to try to tell you what you understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me not do that.
Yeah, because, you know, the comment section is going to be coming for you.
Yeah, but who cares about them? I ain't scared of y'all. So, look.
No, but I'm telling you no.
Okay, you do. You're telling me no what?
I do get that.
Right. But you.
Your sacrifices free me up to be able to do these things. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like I can relate to this person because Kendrick Lamar has a song on his latest album called I Grieve Different. It's called Grief or something like that. And it goes, I grieve different. And it's like, it's like a bunch of drums, right? Mm-hmm. People are going to hate that I try to do that. But the point is, like, everybody grieves different. Mm-hmm. And when you lose somebody, speaking from experience, mm-hmm. when you lose somebody that is like so important to you and you feel like, hey, Lord, that was whack. Like just straight up, I'm mad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm mad at you. I think that was wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that I don't know anything. And I know it's your child, it's your thing, but I'm angry. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know how to function without that person. Right. You don't even want to get close to anybody else. Mm. Like, I was like...
To avoid that pain again. I was like,
this is the worst pain I've ever felt. Mm-hmm. One, I don't even want to get that close to my kids. Because I don't want them to die and I lose them and I got to feel mm-hmm. that again. I'm in protection mode. Mm-hmm. Get away from me. Mm-hmm. Stay away. I don't want you around. I don't want nobody around. Hey, you want to hang out? I just want to... Leave me alone. Hey, come to church. Absolutely not. Because now I have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? We went back to church after Britney died and Pat.
Oh, my gosh.
Pat preached on grief for like 4 weeks straight. And I hated it. I hated it. I hated every moment of it. And I was angry because of the accountability that the Holy Spirit was pushing me toward. And I just wanted her back. I didn't know what to do. It's not fair. Right? How am I supposed to live without my friend? Mm. Like, what the heck am I supposed to do now? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is nobody that, like, okay, I have a certain voice. You got a voice. You got a smell. I got a smell, right? We all have these things about us. You have a hug. I have a hug. Brittany had a hug I've never received again. And I may never. Like, that hurts. Like, that's a feeling I'll never feel. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, everybody can catch an L. I don't care who's here. I don't care what y'all do. I don't care about nothing. Violence, my mind, my appearance was composure. Mm. I was composed. I functioned. I made a commitment that I wasn't going to try hard to take care of myself because what's the point? Like, the demons that I wrestled with between then and now, like, the darkness, the abandonment, and then watching Yvette go through her thing and then feeling abandoned again. You know what I'm saying? Like, personal. I took it personal. And I wanted to fade with myself. I wanted everybody to, I didn't care about nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting it into it with people. And I'm kind of like, I'm not going to settle for you. I'm not going to settle for this booty relationship when I know what real relationship looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. So I get it. Now, I would say that if he's just an angry individual and he just is grumpy and depressed and angry, then, and he's never been joyous, then I would say we have a huge problem. But as this is a result of an experience that he's never felt before and he doesn't know what to do, I would say there's an immediate opportunity for grace here. And I'm not saying you need to put up with it forever, but you have to sustain yourself. Yes, he needs therapy. Yes, he needs accountability, but he needs to reckon with that on his own. He got to figure out how to have joy in his life again. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's just recently, within the past 2 months, that I have been like, okay, I want to live, but not like this. Like, if I'm going to be alive, I'm not going to live like this because I don't like how this feels. I can change this, right? I don't want to live with this anger and, like, walking on eggshells with God. Walking on, like, I wasn't even firm in my faith. I wasn't standing, like, it was weird. And so when you watch someone transition into a place of depression, they don't know what to do. But I think what I've understood about life is that I have to get good at grieving because I'm going to deal with it again. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If I don't die soon, I'm going to lose this dog. This dog's going to die. Hmm? Lily.
If you don't die soon?
Like I'm going to experience death. I know.
Oh.
This dog's going to die. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to have to grieve this dog's death. Do you understand that?
Yes.
So I'm appreciating and I'm living with appreciation that one day I'm going to have to, like, I understand grief in a different way. Right after Brittany passed away, Leon, my cousin, passed away. And I had appreciation for Brittany's death because it brought the whole family together to see Leon before he died. My cousin who was murdered in Vegas, 2021. So even not understanding why God made, you know, why God allowed that to happen, willed it, I was able to appreciate Brittany's death even for a moment and just realize, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm still mad, but I don't know what I'm talking about. And so he doesn't realize that his decision is affecting his life. I mean, your life in such a major way. And I hope that you don't allow it to as much. Now, dudes have personality issues. They got traits where they're kind of like, eh, I don't necessarily know if I can. I want to be around people. I want to celebrate this. I want to, you know, celebrate, you know, a holiday or anything. He's going to have to get over it because it's not fair for you to live under that. But he can't do it. You can't force him to do that. Mm-hmm. You just can't force him to do that, man. You know, when Yvette be eating the poison that she eats.
Why are you putting my business out here?
Like, I'm going to be honest, man. Yvette's decisions.
Damn. What's happening right now?
Your decisions to eat certain things severely impact me and have impacted me over the course of our marriage. I'm not blaming you for, like, gaining weight or anything like that. I said I'm not blaming you for gaining weight. Why are you gasping? Are you just emoting?
Can you finish your statement so I can go
in on
you?
But I am saying that you didn't help me. So,
oh my.
But I'm realizing that, like, I can't do it. So I have to make the decision. Like, last night, she got Sprouts cookies, and I'm meal prepping. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there are cookies in here.
Oh no.
There are real cookies in here. And I looked at I'm like, these are the good ones. And I poked them, and I was like, oh, they're soft. And it's so hard for me, but I have to let her.
You poked them?
Yeah, I just touched the outside. You know, you can touch it through there and be like, oh, it's soft.
That's how I pick them. But I had to teach Theo because I took Theo to the grocery store with me yesterday. Oh, that could have been my chocolate baby story. Babe, I'm sorry.
Dude, I'm not blaming you. I'm letting her know that just like Yvette has a need to be around people mm-hmm. all the time, right? I got a need to stick to a system and a plan and rules. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the sporadicness of, oh my gosh, there's a party, there's a wedding, there's a baby. Like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. I'm so sorry. I can't go. Mm-hmm. I love you. I can't go. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, right? Now, there's a certain part of me that's kind of like, yo, you need to make time for people so they believe you when you say you care, mm-hmm. right? But and then it's another part. It's kind of like, okay, what people though? What people do you need to make time for? Because you don't need to make time for everybody. Because mm-hmm. you're not in a freaking popularity contest or running for office.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You are trying to survive
That's a whole other topic we could go into.
Right. So you trying to survive. Mm-hmm. In order to survive, I think you need to do it well. I think you need to... Sorry, my shirt's
noisy.
Fancy. Shirt's fancy. yeah, like let's make sure we understand that you have a life to live and you have permission to live that life. And he is going through something. And I think my prayer for you, if I'm his wife, right, mm-hmm. is you praying that God touches him in a way that he can only feel it. Yeah. Like, yo, touch that man. Like, that's your man. Touch him. You know, you have access to him. I don't have access to his heart. You know, make him feel it. I felt it in multiple different ways. You know, I'm dealing with something. I could be right in my thinking and be like, I'm not going to this event or I'm not hanging out with this person because they make me feel a certain way. But my motives are all based in grief. I can make the right decision with the wrong motive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like I'm saying like, yo, I love, you know, hanging out with certain people, but they don't treat me well or I don't feel well around them. So I don't kick it with them. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm making that decision is because I'm grieving about something like, you know, why would I kick it with this person if this, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. nah, it's the right decision, just the wrong motivation. And so, you know, like we were talking about last episode, I don't know if it's always necessary for me. You got to leave soon?
No.
Okay.
I was just looking at her Instagram.
Okay. I don't know if it's always necessary for me to, like, do everything. That you do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah.
I actually would like to ask a question because we recently, I don't know if you guys are aware that we have Belief in Good meetings every month.
Absolutely.
If you are not signed up on that email list, you should definitely do that because Glenn be dropping some really valuable things on there. I mean, you guys get to experience that here on this podcast, but it's a whole different side over at Belief in Good. So make sure you check out BeliefInGood.org. Make sure you're on the email list so you know when the next community meeting is.
Free monthly meeting.
And it's a live Zoom call so you can chime in, ask questions, just be engaged with Glenn and all of us. But on our last one for this month, he said, I was like, well, damn. He said,
what'd I say?
You said after Brittany died, you were waiting to die.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And like in
Brittany and Leon.
Brittany and Leon. Yeah. And so there is a part of that that I am aware of and not, you know, like the whole phrase waiting to die. Caught me off guard and I was like, well, goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that was really happening. I know that I have a sugar addiction. I genuinely believe it's an addiction that I need to overcome and I'm working on it. I'm not really.
Are you?
I'm not working on it.
Are you?
Can you just?
I just wanted to do that, but the kids do. You know how to do. Are you?
I understand you did, but that was not helpful.
It was not the right timing. Wrong timing.
I'm an addict. You don't talk to addicts like that. Goodness gracious. I am, right? Legit. Anywho, I'm not necessarily actively working on it right now, okay? I'm doing other things, so leave me alone. But the first step is acknowledging. That's it.
I love you. Go.
So my question is, and so I realize that both of us over the course of the last whatever have not, we've been on this kind of yo-yo situation.
With
our diets, with our health, with our, like, we've been consistent in some areas and then non-consistent and then just completely not even trying. Mm-hmm. And so I think my question for you is, how could I have, like, what conversations could we have been having or what questions could I have been asking after you experienced a loss, two losses back to back that would have been helpful? Like, is there a way for her to show up for him in this way? Because I will say this, like, my dad experienced a similar loss of a father figure when I was a little girl. It was a loss for our whole family. But I will say that I noticed a difference in him when that man was gone. And he never, from what I can tell, has never replaced that father figure. You know, and his own biological father wasn't necessarily that guy. And so I acknowledge and I know the importance of mentorship and just having someone kind of pouring into you in that way. And so if he's experienced this loss and this has activated this type of feelings and behavior and whatever in him, then my question is, like, really, like, what conversations can be had? I know the prayers to pray, like I for some reason I feel like you're praying those prayers, but at the same time, it's like, what conversations can we as a wife have with you that might be helpful, mm-hmm. or edifying, mm-hmm. or what does that look like?
Yeah, I think the questions, I think you know what questions to ask, but you're scared of the answer. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really want to know the answer to the questions. Right. If you would have asked me, like, are you think you're going to die next? Mm. I would have said yes. Mm. And what would you have said? You know what I'm saying? Like, the answers to those questions, like, those questions are really hard for me to even say. Like, I think I'm going to die. I think God is going to kill me. Not that he would kill me, mm-hmm. but like, I'm like, why would these two random things happen to these two people? Like, what is the point? Mm-hmm. Like, and then, like, it's only four of us in that little group, mm-hmm. of kids, right, from that side of the family. It's only two left, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, what's the significance of us being here and them not? Like, I'm really confused. So the questions I'm asking myself is, like, I'm trying to understand God, which I'll never, mm-hmm. understand, right? I won't even understand the capacity of his grace, right? And allowing in his mercy for me to even be here. Mm. But then it's like, well, I'm not as good as a mother. I mean, I'm not good as a parent as Brittany. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I'm as talented creatively as Leon could be. Like, I'm like trying to justify the soul's gone. Mm-hmm. And I think the answers, I wasn't ready to have the conversations because they would have broke me. Mm. Like, you know, even you saw me. I didn't even want to walk in the house with Brittany. Like, you saw me break down. You kept seeing me break down. And you kept telling me, grieve. Like, you kept I don't know what you were doing. Yvette was like, it's okay. You're not grieving. You're not grieving. But I'm like crying often. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't grieving. She was like, I'm just trying to give you time to grieve so I could grieve. And I was like, girl, leave me alone. Like, let me do what I'm supposed to do. I'm trying. And so I don't know if it was enough. Like, you just said, we are not our spouse's savior. And then you're trying to ask me what you could have been doing to help. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not in a way that was like saving you, but in a way that was creating space.
I think you did a good job creating space. Mm. You know, you let me cry. You let me, I don't think I, you know, in a way, I wasn't feeling great in that season anyway. But to know, like, oh, we left, we saw family, and I missed the last kind of big portion of her coherent life. Mm-hmm. A lot of guilt, a lot of negative talking to myself, mm-hmm. right? A lot of that. And so because I'm dealing with that, you did a good job, babe. You didn't do anything off. But, like, I really was like, oh, yeah, I'm waiting that this would be over because I don't know if I'm stewarding my time correctly or my friendships. And we were having a lot of issues in our marriage. Like, it was a lot of down. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of lowness. And so I was like, well, things aren't really going great. So this would kind of be opportune. Like, this time would be great, you know, because yeah. there's not really much outside of the children to live for. Because our marriage was really tough in that season. I don't know if you remember that, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And then it got tougher, you know, upon your trip away. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think just time, man. You got to just, the patience, like, love is patient, love is kind, right? Like, what did your vow say? You know, sickness and health till death do us part. Grief can be considered, though depression definitely is a sickness. Grief allows depression to have a resonance. Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you will forever be, you could be depressed about certain things while you're grieving. It's a dark room. And depending on how you treat your grief and how you use your grief and ride it out, like, it can be very detrimental, right? Or it can be very life-giving. Mm. You know? I remember when Leon died, you know, this is my cousin, so we born in 85. We're both born in 85. Oh, no, nah, I think he's born in 84. So we grew up and went at the age of like 15, like DMX was like the hottest thing ever. And so I remember sitting in my backyard, drinking, listening to Flesh of My Flesh. Mm-hmm. Smoking a Black and Mild, crying.
And I'm looking at him through the Ring camera.
Just crying. Taking pictures of myself while crying.
You did?
I took a couple selfies because I was like, why am I crying this hard? But I didn't, like, I waited to grieve until you got back, mm-hmm. you know? Man, it's an icky feeling. And I don't wish that pain on my worst enemy.
And you know what's interesting about what you just said? You waited to grieve until I got back. Do you think you did that because you needed to be present with the kids?
Yeah.
And I think that's so true. Mm-hmm. I feel like I reached the point that day at my kitchen sink. I remember it so distinctly. And I was like, I cannot continue on like this. Mm-hmm. I kept trying to shove down grief because I felt like I needed to show up for my children. And then desperation made it such that I was like, I gotta go. I gotta leave. If I don't leave, it's not going to end well. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of the moments or the goalposts, not goalposts. What are those things called? I don't know.
Pillars
in my life where it's like rest is a necessary thing. It's not a luxury. It's necessary. And so that's why I created a space like the Moms Retreat Unplugged for moms to be able to remove themselves to be present with themselves fully, with your feelings that you haven't had time to process or you haven't given yourself permission to even feel and all the things. And it's not necessary just for moms, it's necessary for husbands and spouses too. And thankfully, Glenn and I have each other to do life with because there are times when he needs a moment to just feel and exist. And the same is true for me. And we can pick up each other's slack. And there are some times when it's just both of us we out here not doing well, and the Lord, he's the one that's carrying us through.
Well, and I would say too, this is something interesting about you and I, which may be true for this couple as well, is that you will be like, I need to go. Mm-hmm. And this is what like been my big revelation lately is like, you'll go, I need to leave. I need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Right. And if I leave, then I'll be in a different place and I'll do better. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is no matter where I go, mm-hmm. I'm still in this body. I'm still in this mind. My brain still thinks these things and I can't change that. So it doesn't matter if I go to a 4th of July party or it's Christmas or we're at a ski resort, I'm still going to be mad. Mm-hmm. And I don't trust myself going by myself, mm-hmm. right? Because I need to change my life. My life has a problem. I'm missing something and I don't know where to find it, right? And so where do I go when I have nowhere to go? Like, how do I change my life if I can't get this out of my mind? Like, that's hard, man. And I think that is my new solution is making life decisions that's creating the type of life I want. The last time I felt peace was, oof. The last time I felt peace, like real, like comfort, was probably in Maui a few years ago. Mm-hmm. The last time I like truly... Lily, go lay down, girl. You tripping.
It's because you started petting her.
Go lay down. Lay down. I think she's got to go pee. Sit. Oh. Good girl. Stay.
She's so cute sometimes.
And then the last time I truly appreciated a moment was when we were on an RV trip and we're driving around and we stopped the car. And I went to the back and I was emptying a septic, the black water. And it was kind of like that moment, like it's moments where I get it. When I do breath work, I feel it like, you know, yeah. All right, let's go. Cause she's got to go pee.
I was going to say something. All right.
How married are you?
Oh, I'm so married. The other day, I like 7-Eleven coffee beans. I'm cheap. I don't care for all the luxury things in life. And so I went to 7-Eleven and got myself some coffee beans. And Glenn's on this new diet, so I didn't get like candy or anything like I would usually do. And then I just got coffee beans. But then I got in a car and I was like, maybe I should call him and see if he wants a 5-hour energy drink. Before
that's been how married are you for so many times
before I leave, but this is how married I am. I'm so married that I called him and sat in the parking lot until he answered and whatever. But the thing is, y'all, it was a rainy day, so I got out of the car
in the rain
double time. So I feel like that's how married I am. It's not about the 5-hour energy drink. It's about getting in and out of the car and swiping my card. I hate swiping my card multiple times, especially for like little amounts of money. So yeah. That's how married I am. How married are you, Mia Moore?
I'm so married that you sent me a TikTok about, I mean, not a TikTok, you know, an Instagram post about the weather coming up. And I made sure, because I wasn't able, they were giving out free sandbags somewhere in Oceanside. And I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to make it there. So I made sure before I got home, I went to Lowe's and I got 9 bags of sand, not sandbags, bags of sand. And I got empty sandbags and took the kids out and they had me help me fill up the sandbags so that our garage wouldn't get flooded. Because I know that was something that you were very concerned about, often communicating that. So I did that.
Thank you, babe.
For the big storm that was coming.
That's here.
Yeah.
And that's just how married we are.